How can we move beyond our daily to-do lists to make the most of life? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We all want more experiences, space for the things that matter the most. Skip the ordinary and take a detour to the extraordinary. There's so much more to discover. Start your next adventure in America's all-time best-selling SUV. The new, well, you know what it is. It's all in the name. The new 2025 Ford Explorer SUV, built Ford proud.
Based on S&P Global Mobility 1946 to current U.S. total new cumulative registrations for all vehicles identified as SUVs.
In the 1990s, more than a million people tuned into Court TV to watch the trial of Lyle and Eric Menendez. The brothers were eventually convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. More than three decades later, there is renewed attention on the case after two recent documentaries and a scripted Netflix series introduced the brothers to a new generation of true crime enthusiasts. This fall, the Los Angeles District Attorney recommended that the Menendez brothers be resentenced. The popularity of this type of content is creating a real-life impact for accused perpetrators, victims, and their families. But what are the ethical and practical limitations of true crime?
What bounds the genre for me is that you have non-fictional accounts of crime, usually violent crime, but not always, that has some element of entertainment value. They can still take it very seriously, but this element that this is also, that there's some component of entertainment to it, that it's a consumable and that people enjoy it.
That's Whitney Phillips, Assistant Professor of Digital Platforms and Ethics at the University of Oregon. According to a recent report from Edison Research, 84% of Americans over the age of 13 consume true crime content. This fascination isn't necessarily new. Think of the so-called penny press newspapers that ran sensationalized and gruesome stories throughout the mid-1800s. Today, of course, the format has shifted. Consumers are getting the true crime fix through podcasts, streaming platforms, and even social media sites like TikTok. Clearly, Phillips was right when she said it has entertainment value. But what exactly do people find appealing about these types of stories?
In some of the research that's been done around true crime, you know, you see a very strong gendered component, that the primary audience for true crime media, it's women. And there are some theories about why that might be. And one of them is it's a way to develop skills, a skill set, in case something bad were to happen to you, then how might you respond? And so there are these different kinds of psychological reasons that people engage. And then there are also pure entertainment reasons. People like a whodunit. They like to try to solve a problem or a mystery, especially if the story plays out on social media, that you can participate, you can be a sleuth yourself, you can engage. It's very, can be very collaborative.
With the popularity of books, TV shows, and podcasts about true crime, it can be easy to forget that they are true stories about real people. For example, while the Menendez brothers may benefit from a fresh look at their case, they were not happy with the way they were portrayed in the media. They said in a statement that the recent Netflix series about them was full of, quote, blatant lies. The Menendez brothers are not the only subject of true crime media to be negatively affected by the content. According to Renee Williams, CEO at the National Center for Victims of Crime, it can leave many victims and families re-traumatized.
I think especially when the victims aren't included in the actual content creation is when you're going to see the most trauma. And really, it's that we are re-traumatizing individuals that have lived through this. We got a phone call from a woman whose mother was pretty brutally murdered in the 80s, and they decided to do a show on it and did not reach out to her or her brother. And she saw on a TV commercial photos of her mother's bloodied body that she had never seen before. The producers of that show had reached out to the police department and to the prosecutors and had interviewed them, but they had not gotten permission from the victims. And so it's reminding people that because there's a victim, that victim has family. That victim has people who care very deeply about them. If they're still living, that victim also has feelings, and they did not choose to become public figures.
In addition to stirring up traumatizing experiences from years ago, true crime can interfere with ongoing criminal investigations. After four college students were killed in Idaho in 2022, amateur sleuths took to social media to investigate. Phillips explains that the public frenzy around the case led to an onslaught of false accusations and theories that made the situation harder for the real detectives.
Law enforcement, in the wake of the Idaho killings, repeatedly, publicly talked about how damaging and distracting the public involvement could be. And it's this fine line because on one hand, for decades, police have relied on tips and information from the public to try to pursue their cases. But it really crosses a line when everyday people who don't have specialized training and don't have experience in law enforcement or any forensic techniques assume that they are also detectives. And they're not. And when you're talking about online sleuthing, folks can really have their heart in the right place and can really want to try to help, but that can slow investigations down. It can kick up red herrings. It can subject totally innocent bystanders who aren't even connected to the case, except maybe they share the same last name, to all kinds of unwanted attention that does not make law enforcement's job any easier.
Both Phillips and Williams agree that true crime content tends to focus more on certain kinds of victims and stories while ignoring others. For example, in the U.S., indigenous women are three times more likely to experience violence compared to other women. That's according to the Justice Department. However, as Phillips explains, these stories receive little attention in true crime media.
True crime media historically has been very white. And it often features very similar kinds of stories. There are certain kinds of victims that are regarded as more marketable, that appeal to audiences in these very patterned ways. And what that creates is, for one thing, a false picture of who faces violence and whose lives and whose deaths ultimately matter and are worth storytelling. And so one potential argument that you could make as to where true crime could contribute something positive, those media that push back against the white centrality of the quote-unquote perfect victim.
Even with its flaws, true crime can contribute something positive. When done right, as Williams explains, this content can aid in solving crimes and give victims a platform to share their stories.
I think there are absolutely positive impacts, and that's one of our organization's big sticking points. Is we're not saying that this has to go away. We're not saying this is all bad. There are absolutely positive points. First of all, if you can harness media and become a true crime intrigue case, you can get a lot of attention on your case. If somebody is still missing, you have tons more eyes watching for folks and being involved in helping solve the crime or find the person. And for those that we see where the person is deceased or the thing has already happened, a lot of times there's healing for the family members in getting their loved one's story out or telling who their loved one was.
So when is true crime helpful and when is it harmful? To make this distinction, the National Center for Victims of Crime created several rules for being an ethical true crime consumer. By following these guidelines, Williams says fans of this type of media can keep their hobby while also respecting victims and their families.
There is no victimless true crime, and that is our golden rule. And that's the idea that there will always be a victim and family members if you're watching interesting true crime. And so remember that, and remember there are real people who did not put their hands up to be public figures. The second rule is there's no timeline for trauma. And that means that stories about serial killers from the 1970s still greatly impact the families of those serial killers' victims. And it doesn't make it hurt any less. And having stories told in a public and romanticized way is both dangerous and very traumatic to those victims. The biggest one for us is require the presence of victims' voices. We see this all the time. Shows will interview police officers, they'll interview district attorneys, they'll interview neighbors. And I think people think in their heads that means that they have the victim's approval to be pushing a story out. That's not necessarily true. And so find out if the victims or their family were contacted before making the documentary, before being discussed. And if they were, what was their reaction?
Williams also encourages consumers to be intentional with the media they watch and to avoid causing further harm to victims whenever possible. Above all, she urges people to turn their interest into impact by donating or volunteering for organizations that advocate on behalf of victims. Phillips agrees and says with some parameters, true crime aficionados can use their fascination for good.
There are better ways to tell these stories, and there are worse ways to tell these stories. And the most ethically conscientious ways to storytell in this way, you're talking to the family, you're making sure that you're centering the victim's life as a totality and not reducing them just to their final horrible minutes.
To find out more about Whitney Phillips, Renee Williams, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Since 2013, the annual Progressive Keys to Progress event has provided deserving veterans with vehicles, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more about this program at keystoprogressive.com.
Coming up, we'll hear some unique tips on how to get through mundane tasks quicker and regain more of your time when Viewpoints returns.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to 0 leaks, 0 odor, and 0 feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you.
Is it just me, or do the last few months of the year always feel like a sprint at the end of a marathon? With the seasons changing, their new schedules, new sports, and several holidays to get ready for. In the midst of it all, some days it can seem like no matter how organized or productive you've been, the items on your list never quite get fully checked off. On top of that, there's also a common feeling that you never have time to do the things you really want to do, like read that new book or finally go on that trip with friends.
people are meeting their deadlines. They're getting their family members where they need to go at about the time that they're supposed to be there. They are already getting the stuff on their to-do list done. But what happens is sometimes when we become so focused on all of these responsibilities, all the things we need to do, life starts to feel like a slog.
That's Laura Vanderkam, a time management expert and author of the book Tranquility by Tuesday. She says that the end goal of time management isn't to get even more done, but to help carve out time for the activities that bring us joy.
It often comes down to how we spend our hours, that it's not just about, do you have a good job? It's like, well, what are you doing with the hours that you are working? Are you making space for the projects that you do enjoy? Are you getting to invest in the relationships with colleagues who you find incredibly energizing and inspiring? Are you feeling like you're making progress on your goals, or do you feel like you're constantly just putting out fires? And it makes a big difference.
And these time management techniques aren't rocket science. It's small changes like getting good sleep and enough exercise that, along with other habits, all add up to make a notable difference. It might sound cliche, but having a set bedtime shouldn't just be for kids.
I've found over the years that a lot of people sleep in a very disorderly fashion. If you have them keep track of their time for a week, they may be sleeping enough from a quantitative perspective, but they're feeling exhausted some days. And then other days, their bodies are forcing them to catch up on sleep. And so it can be hard to maintain good routines on those days. It's so much better. You will have so much more energy if you get the amount of sleep that you need every single night.
Once you're past the morning hump, it's important to build in some time for movement. Vanderkam says one rule she recommends to clients is doing some kind of exercise before 3 p.m.
This is about maintaining energy levels. There's pretty good evidence that even short bursts of physical activity can massively boost people's mood. They can make people feel more energized. And the reason to do it before 3 p.m. is that when people have looked at energy levels in the course of a day, that tends to be a low point. So if you haven't moved by 3 p.m., getting up to do it then is a good time, because then you'll get through the rest of the afternoon without necessarily reaching for coffee or candy bars or whatever else it is that people rely on to boost their energy.
The act of finding time for exercise also forces a person to be strategic about their schedule. Vanderkam says that too often people waste several hours on mundane tasks.
One of my rules, rule number 8, is to batch the little things, to designate a small window for tackling all these tasks that are not terribly urgent and are not terribly important. And so if at work, for instance, you say, okay, well, from 1 to 1:30, I am going to get through as many of these tasks as possible. First, just two things happen when you do this. One is that you become more efficient. But beyond that, it allows you to relax at other points or to focus on deeper things. You know, you're working on a really important business matter in the morning. You're like, oh, but wait, I have to fill out that form from HR and order a birthday present. You say, no. There is a time for that. I'm going to do that between 1 and 1:30. Now is not that time. I can stick with this difficult issue that I am working on. I can, you know, relax if it's on a weekend, for instance. Maybe you designate a chore window for little things on the weekend.
Setting small windows of time to knock out these less important items can help you steer clear of procrastination.
The unfortunate reality is sometimes we want to do these small tasks. We want to give ourselves the easy win. It's like, well, I'm dealing with this very difficult, you know, memo I need to write. Maybe it's something that I know the person is not going to want to hear. I really need to put the effort into it. Or I could just go order that birthday present and fill out that form from HR. And so we distract ourselves, right? We, you know, we want to kind of get some of these easy wins. But, you know, sometimes it's better to tell ourselves, no, we're going to wait on the easy wins.
With every week comes a new set of challenges, but setting good habits and being strict with where your time is going can make all the difference. Vanderkam says the last part of the equation is preparing your to-do list ahead of time. For instance, she sits down every Friday to build out her schedule for the following week.
Friday is when many people are sort of sliding into the weekend, taking it easy if they work a Monday through Friday job. It is really hard to start anything new on Fridays, and particularly on Friday afternoon. But we might be willing to think about what future us should be doing. And by taking a few minutes to plan the upcoming week, you can turn what might be wasted time into some of your most productive time.
And by having a better grip on your time, it opens up space to pursue the things that you actually look forward to doing. This might mean anything from going to a movie theater alone to finally signing up for that oil painting class you've been eyeing.
I think life should be enjoyed. And I think that there are pretty simple habits we can build into our lives that can make any given day feel better. My goal is always to have people enjoy their Tuesdays more. Like, I want people to enjoy their normal days. We don't need to wait for weekends. We don't need to wait for vacations. We can actually just make any given day feel better. And when we do, when we upgrade our normal days, then we upgrade our entire lives.
To find out more about this topic, as well as our guest, Laura Vanderkam, visit our website at viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, Tranquility by Tuesday, online and in select bookstores. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment originally aired in October 2022 and was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our studio engineer is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dry Cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Is an apology enough to make up for America's violent past? President Biden has recently apologized for the American government's role in the abuse and neglect of thousands of Native American children. Starting in the early 1800s, the U.S. set out to forcibly assimilate these kids by taking them from their families and shipping them off to boarding schools. Over the course of more than 150 years, at least 19,000 children were sent to these federal schools. Nearly 1,000 of them never made it out alive. Initial reports from 2022 estimate that at least 50 schools had burial grounds. Children were stripped of their heritage, culture, and language while often suffering from extreme abuse. Reports show that many children faced malnutrition, hard labor, and beatings. When first entering the schools, students were given a new name and forced to give up their indigenous clothing and hairstyles. Some families chose to send their kids to these boarding schools in hopes of a better future, but in doing so, a few schools forced the parents to give up full custody of their children. Those who refused could face severe punishments, including imprisonment. President Biden's statement is the first time the U.S. government has formally apologized for these atrocities. He announced that it was a sin on our soul and that this recognition is long overdue. While it was well received by the community, some Native Americans believe this to be just the start of America's attempt to make amends. They want more concrete actions, such as returning stolen land and fulfilling treaty obligations. And that's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Brian Jordan Alvarez has been around for years. He was on the Will and Grace reboot, had a role in the sci-fi horror movie Megan, and guest starred on Jane the Virgin. But now, with his new show English Teacher, Alvarez has launched himself into the Quinta Brunson stratosphere. Alvarez serves as the show's creator and star, while also working as a writer and director on the project. And the show itself is a hilarious hit. English teacher naturally follows the story of a high school teacher who deals with all the pitfalls of public education in 2024, from homophobia and after-school meetings with students' grumpy parents to teachers chaperoning dances. English teacher finds a funny silver lining in all sorts of school scenarios. And it isn't afraid to get its hands dirty, talking about some of the hot-button issues that can keep teachers up at night. Like all successful sitcoms, English Teacher excels because it features a bunch of really great characters put into all sorts of wild situations. Enrico Colatoni plays a loving but exasperated principal, trying desperately to keep the whole ship moving. Stephanie Koenig plays a charming, if messy, fellow teacher and friend. And Sean Patton shines as a gym teacher with a lot to say about everything. In just 8 episodes, English Teacher manages to flesh out a fully formed world that I'm desperate to return back to so I can hang out with my pals at Morrison Hensley High School time and time again. English Teacher is now streaming on Hulu. I'm Evan Rook.
The 90s called. They said the Gordita Supreme is so back in the new $7 Lux Cravings box from Taco Bell. It's all looking fresh to death with the pillowy 90s Gordita Supreme alongside the beefy 5-layer burrito, double stacked taco, chips with nacho cheese sauce, and medium drink. All for just $7. It's your wallet's favorite cheesy crunchy combo here for a limited time. Grab yours and relive the decades only at Taco Bell. Participating Taco Bell stores for a limited time only while supplies last. Contact store for price and participation, which varies. Drinks and speeds, freezes, tax extra.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows. And find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, east winds, and highs near 40 degrees today. Tonight, we'll see snow developing. It could briefly have a little rain with it as well. Lows in the upper 20s. On Monday, a rain-snow mix, mid-30s. Any kind of accumulation under an inch. Currently 26 degrees.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, the need for more accurate accessibility tools.
I got kind of sick of that accessibility icon, the wheelchair icon they put on everything. That doesn't tell you much.
But first, doctors thought their patient was dying in a coma, but he was awake the whole time.
I was in the neuro ICU of MGH. I'm like, how many other comatose patients are in here talking to themselves, screaming, in pain? They need to know that I am, like, fully intact here.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In 2017, Jacob Handel checked into an emergency room complaining of his newfound high-pitched voice and balance issues. The newly married chef was told he was probably having a stroke, but he wondered what type of stroke lasted for 3 weeks. After some persuading, the 28-year-old underwent an MRI, and what those scans revealed was much scarier than the doctor's initial assumption. The official diagnosis is acute toxic progressive leukoencephalopathy, a disease that never left any survivors. It's a rare brain condition that's caused by exposure to substance use or environmental toxins.
I inhaled lots of things voluntarily and involuntarily. Being a head chef, you know, you scrub down these hot surfaces with these weird cleaners. I would cook food from all over the world. I definitely breathed a lot of stuff in those hood exhaust fans. They don't always work great. You know, and then also I did have some substance abuse. I smoked cigarettes. So I did inhale a lot of things, but I asked them, what causes, what toxin did I inhale? And all they could give me is most likely a pesticide, but we don't know.
Unfortunately, they knew all too well how Handel's disease would progress. Within a couple of weeks, he wouldn't be able to walk. By month two, sitting in a wheelchair would become unbearable. Handel would be bedbound by months 3 and 4, while also fighting against other issues that pop up while the white matter of his brain is being attacked. He'd quickly lose his ability to eat, swallow, and talk, eventually slipping into a coma. By the 6th month, doctors told Handel he'd be dead. The news felt like a ton of bricks, and as someone already struggling with addiction, Handel's first instinct was automatic.
I was like, what does it matter? I'm dead anyway. So I went back to that, actually had some substance abuse right there in the hospital. Medical staff walked in. He was just a nurse. She was like, essentially saw me getting high. And she was like, whoa, I'll be right back. And they just brought a whole team of people in. And they were like, maybe we didn't explain this right, but like, you really need to decide how you want to live your last days.
That conversation halted Handel's self-destruction. In its absence, he began to hope for the impossible.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to fight this. I'm going to live out my last days. Maybe I can make through this. Even though they told me no one else has ever survived this. You know, I remember something my dad said to me very early on, kind of whispered in my ear. He's like, you can defy the odds. Defy the odds.
But all of the optimism in the world wouldn't stop the disease's progression. Handel lost his balance and most of his mobility by month 2. Soon he couldn't move, eat, or breathe on his own.
I had this thing I would say to myself, well, can't get any worse. Sure enough, the next day I like couldn't pee. It was just my bladder was protruding out of my stomach. And it, you know, I was like, oh, now I lost that. And then I would say, well, it can't get any worse. And then, you know, my voice started to go. Diagnosis, May 25th, and I said my last word. My last word was towards the end of October.
Although he was fully paralyzed, Handel still had full control of his thoughts. And though he couldn't respond, the medical staff would always greet him and explain why they were in his room. But soon Handel realized that most of the staff had stopped acknowledging him altogether.
I didn't think much of it. I'm like, okay, I'm just like here, but I can't do anything. So why would, you know, I'm not a conversationalist. So two nurses are working on me and one says to the other, I got to tell you about this real awkward hookup I had last night. And the other nurse is kind of giggling. Now me internally, I'm like, oh man, this is like great. This is like, I can't wait to hear where the story's going. And the other nurse is giggling. Maybe you shouldn't talk in front of the patient. Very casually, she just goes, oh, him? He can't hear you. He's brain dead anyway.
Handel panicked. How could he have so many thoughts and be brain dead?
They think I'm brain dead? Am I brain dead? I mean, I was contemplating. I thought I might be brain dead, actually. And I'm like, is this like a hallucination? You know, I'm like, I quickly kind of came to the realization, though. I'm like, no, they're perceiving me this way and they don't know. And I'm like, that is scary. And I knew, you know, I was in the neuro ICU of MGH. I'm like, how many other comatose patients are in here talking to themselves, screaming in pain?
Often when Handel recounts this story, people comment on how terrible it was for the nurses to speak so callously about a patient. However, Handel was grateful for the knowledge it gave him.
I don't think I would have known. And I value that. It's like someone gave me the insight. I would like to think I would fight anyway, but it put me on a mission. I was like, they need to know this. They need to know that I am like fully intact here. I got memories from childhood. Like my executive functioning is like arguably better than it had ever been. I mean, I was like, you learn a lot about yourself when you talk to yourself all day long.
But since Handel couldn't even blink, he was at a loss for how to get the doctors to realize that he was still the same guy he had always been, just trapped in a body that wouldn't move. However, this challenge quickly took a backseat to all of the pain he was drowning in. For starters, Handel's skin was hypersensitive.
Even somebody walking by me creating a breeze would burn my skin. You know, somebody rolling me over, as I do in the hospital, could like really hurt if they banged my foot on something or my toe, even though it was probably extremely light, that would feel like I just got hit with a baseball bat.
He also developed a condition called autonomic storming, where the sympathetic nervous system becomes overactive.
Had fevers 106.2. Minutes later, I could be hypothermic. I'm down to like 95.8. Really bizarre. People said I kind of looked like I was possessed. Like my back is arching, you know, like I'm just in, I'd be in triple tachycardia sometimes. So like over 200 beats per minute. Also like the weight of a blanket in the hospital was like, I felt like I was being crushed. And that was I was always burning up. I was hot anyway. I didn't want any blankets, but they would put these blankets on me and my hands would be stuck under them. And I'd be like, not that I could move anyway, but I'm like, get this heavy thing off me.
Even having an itch caused him immense physical and mental anguish. Handel was on 50 different medications to manage his disease and the additional conditions it caused, but nothing was easing his pain. Weeks passed by with seemingly no progress, death slowly inching closer and closer. It was in December that Handel first heard talk of being taken off life support. Doctors had told his wife at the time that there wasn't much hope for him to live past Christmas.
I was kind of ready to die. Like, I didn't want to, but I was like, yeah, they told me, like, no one survives this. Like, I'm tired. I'm ready. It's okay. I felt like kind of as good as you can be for someone who's like, I would be stuck like this forever, which is honestly a lot scarier than death at that point. I was like, oh, man. Potentially 50 more years of this, 10 months, I didn't even know it was 10 months at the time, felt like 50 years. And when I heard that, it's time to consider withdrawing life support, the immediate thought, which I think a thought within an hour is probably like, I hope I die soon, was no, don't do that because I'm still here.
Thankfully, that option never became a reality. And though Handel wasn't getting any better, he also wasn't able to continue with his hospice care. Patients are only eligible for 6 months, and against all odds, Handel had exceeded his time.
I was dying, but I wasn't dead, and it was too long for hospice. So they sent me back to an internal medicine unit of MGH. Kind of didn't know what to do with me. I overheard the man in charge of my care, who was ultimately the man that noticed something, be like, yeah, so he's not getting better, but he's not dying. And we don't know what to do with him, but I'm going to put him in one of my complex care units and he's going to be okay. We're going to take good care of him, make sure he's comfortable.
Handel was back at Massachusetts General Hospital for about a month with no change to his brain scans or overall health. But then, as the rest of the nation was celebrating the 4th of July, Handel was making history with his own independence. While the doctors were doing their normal rounds, one paused, asking the rest of the team if they had also just seen Handel's hand move.
I was like, oh my God, this is like, it's my shot. And then I immediately hear, no, it's involuntary. I gotta just bring the skin right here. Impossible. And then I hear, hey, I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can, do that again. So now it's really is my shot, and I'm tensing up my body, and I'm like, please move something. I don't even know what I moved, but I'm like, just do something. You gotta be noticed. And as I'm saying to myself, I can't do it, I hear, wow, he's actually doing it.
And just like that, Handel had an official change in medical status. Stay tuned for the next segment where we reveal Handel's miraculous journey to recovery and his new passion that's revolutionizing accessibility for the disabled community. You can find out more about Jacob Handel and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, the app that could revolutionize accessibility for the disabled community, when Radio Health Journal returns.
Are you having the holiday horrors, trying to figure out the perfect gift for everyone on your list? So many people, so few ideas. It's terrifying. But guess what? I have the perfect gift you can give everyone. Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. That's right, hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. They're the perfect gift for a mother, for a father, grandma, grandpa, for the kids, for a friend, for a coworker, and for your boss who you're hoping gives you that big holiday bonus. For everybody. Because Skechers Slip-ins don't cost a ton of money. They last a long time, and people will appreciate them forever. Every time they slip your gift on, they will smile. And why are they smiling? Because with Skechers Slip-ins, they'll never have to touch their shoes again. Just step into them and they're on. With no bending down, no retying the laces, and you are good to go. And they're so easy to give. No more wandering the store, no more scrolling online wondering what to get people. Give the newest thing, the most convenient change in footwear that's ever been. Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. Find Skechers Slip-ins for the holidays at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
In 2017, Jacob Handel was diagnosed with a rare terminal brain condition. But while the rest of the world believed Handel to be in a coma on death's doorstep, his mind was fully intact, able to think, hear, and sometimes even see his surroundings. This phenomenon is called locked-in syndrome. Though patients are unable to communicate due to complete paralysis, they remain awake and fully aware of their situation. In the previous segment, we revealed that after months of living in a pseudo-coma, Handel had finally caught the attention of his medical team by a flick of his wrist. The team immediately called in an expert in nonverbal communication who was at Handel's bedside the very next day.
She just looked over my eyes. She put her hand on my chest and she's like, very excited. And she's like, hi, Jake. I'm Jen. I'm here to teach you how to blink. And I felt like, honestly, I said this. So I was like, oh my God, somebody sent me an angel, right? But the way she came in there, she gave me so much positivity and confidence. Like, she knew that I was in there, whether she knew that or not, it was irrelevant.
The positivity was so encouraging because Handel could hear his medical team continue to debate how much cognitive function he had left. This specialist was the first to acknowledge what no one else had expected, that after everything, Handel's mind was fully intact. The two of them immediately got to work trying to reteach Handel how to blink.
The first thing we get started, she's like, okay, Jake, I want you to really focus. I want you to make your eyes heavy, scrunch, 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 scrunch them down, push, push, push. Honey, it's okay. I know how hard you're working. I know you feel like it's not doing anything. Trust me, it is. It's going to happen. Now, shoot your eyes up. Shoot your eyes up. Open them up. Open them up. Open them up. Good. Do that again. Now, let's go through another rep. And it was just repetitive that. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There was a few days there where I was just like, I don't feel like this is working.
But this was Handel's one shot. He continued to give everything he had, and within 2 weeks, all of his effort had paid off.
Once I could blink, and it was a very slow blink, it was kind of like, blink if you know where you are, I'd blink. Blink if you can hear me, I'd blink. Blink if you're hot, I'd blink. Blink if you're cold, I wouldn't blink. She was like, I think he's in there.
The blinking evolved into a system where Handel would stick out his tongue for yes and blink if the answer was no. From there, they were able to move on to a letterboard so that Handel could try out spelling a word using these signals.
And I just remember this being like over-explained to me, and I was like, yep, I fully comprehend, ready to go. And first thing I spell out, probably took me 10 minutes, I can hear you. And the whole team, medical team is in the room, and they're like, that's crazy. I mean, I couldn't even see everyone because I had this positional gaze, but I could feel the energy being like, whoa.
This was a major turning point. The care team started discussing sending Handel to a rehab center. But when some members began to question his ability to do the mandatory 3 hours of daily therapy, Handel was instantly anxious at the idea of losing this opportunity.
My heart machine starts going off, and Jen, my SLP, who taught me this letterboard, was like, come down, honey. Do you want to say something with the letterboard? And I just wrote out, I can do 3 hours. And that's what really changed everything, because they were like, okay, not only is he somewhat with it, he's tracking our conversation. And that's when they really kind of understood the magnitude of cognition I had, I think.
Handel continued advancing his nonverbal communication skills over the next few months at the rehab center. But even with all of his success, there was one question he'd been avoiding. Was he still dying from the toxic disease that had started this journey? When that thought finally grew too big to ignore, he worked up the courage to ask his physical therapist.
And I was like, am I still terminal? You know, because I was working so hard in therapy, and I was like, that'll be crazy if I only have like 2 months left, you know, but would I do it any different? No, I'd probably still want to talk and whatnot and work as hard as I could. But she was like, no, you beat this.
Now, 6 years later, Handel's moved back home to Boston and gets around in his wheelchair while continuing physical therapy. He's traded in his culinary dreams for a new passion, making the world more accessible. Though many navigation apps have accessibility features, Handel quickly realized that they didn't do much to help past the bare minimum.
I got kind of sick of that accessibility icon, the wheelchair icon they put on everything from, you know, Google, Apple Maps to physical locations. And I was just like, that doesn't tell you much, because everything on Google Maps is like decor and food and the bar. But I want to know about the entrance and the elevator and the table height and how loud it is.
After staring death in the face and coming away victorious, Handel was being held back by the lack of tools available. The more independence Handel gained, the more frustrated he became.
I'm kind of like this guy in the wild, and I start like connecting with old friends, making new friends, families inviting me places. And I just have so much anxiety about going anywhere, because I can't find out the accessibility information. I mean, the amount of hours I'd spend on Google and Yelp trying to like modge-podge the data to like make a determination if I can go there and like use a bathroom or get in the entrance or like whatever. And I start asking my therapy team, I'm like, am I the only one who's like, I want to go to things? I mean, I just like survived the impossible, but I'm like, I said I was going to a wedding, but I've been losing sleep every night because I can't find out. And then my therapist was like, you got anyone who could like take a picture of like the bathrooms and the entrance? And I was just kind of like, why doesn't this exist?
So Handel and his friends took it upon themselves to create Ahoy, an accessibility-focused app. It uses community feedback to create ultra-specific navigation and location reviews, like showing when there's not a curb cut on a sidewalk. During his own time in rehab, Handel realized that accessible infrastructure impacts so many more people than he'd ever imagined.
I guess I was like super naive, and I kind of thought like you were either like born in a wheelchair, even me saying that out loud sounds like kind of dumb, or like you get in a car accident or like a skiing accident and you're now in a wheelchair. I didn't know there was recovery, which sounds like crazy, but my eyes were like open to this. And that's when I first saw how many unique barriers there are.
The team has focused its efforts on Massachusetts and has plans to soon expand into a couple more states. Handle ultimately wants this type of detailed information to be available everywhere.
This absolutely should be built into your Apple phone or built into Google Maps. There's no reason for Ahoy to do what it's doing if it hadn't been done. You know, like, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, but the fact is they're just not doing it. This is much more than folks in wheelchairs. This is the aging population. This is folks with sensory needs. This is 25% of the population, maybe even more.
You can find more information about Ahoy, Jacob Handel, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
The 90s called. They said the Gordita Supreme is so back in the new $7 Luxe Cravings box from Taco Bell. It's all looking fresh to death with the pillowy 90s Gordita Supreme alongside the beefy five-layer burrito, double-stacked taco, chips with nacho cheese sauce, and medium drink. All for just $7. It's your wallet's favorite cheesy crunchy combo here for a limited time. Grab yours and relive the decades only at Taco Bell. Participating Taco Bell stores for a limited time only while supplies last. Contact store for price and participation, which varies. Drinks and foods freezes, tax extra.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah! And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Medical notes this week. You have a bigger brain than your ancestors, and that's good news. A new study published in JAMA Neurology shows that human brain size has been steadily increasing in people born after 1930. The average volume is more than 6% greater, and the brain surface area has increased by nearly 15%. The researchers think that these larger brains may reduce the cases of age-related brain conditions like dementia, since it has more capacity to adapt to any changes. New research unveils another mystery of Alzheimer's disease. A study published in Lancet Neurology reveals that the condition starts earlier and progresses much faster in people with Down syndrome. In fact, almost all adults with Down syndrome will show signs of Alzheimer's by late middle age. Despite this, there are no current treatments specifically for people with Down syndrome, and they're often excluded from clinical trials. Can we reverse antibiotic resistance? Scientists are trying to find out how to use our current medications more efficiently and effectively instead of developing new drugs to fight the resistance. As part of this mission, new research in Nature Communications has discovered how resistant genes spread so fast. They duplicate and jump from strain to strain, helping each one form a resistance to new drugs. And finally, how to spend your money for maximum happiness. Loneliness has been a growing epidemic in America. Thankfully, new research points to one strategy that can help: spending money on experiences rather than material items. This method helps build and foster a social connection that could lead to more happiness overall. The work is published in the journal Behavioral Decision Making. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayon Vosta-Betancourt.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius, or two half geniuses, and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Roll Charmin Ultra Strong when you drop in the beat. It cleans way less effort on your seat. Yeah, roll it, drop it, yeah, roll it, drop it.
Okay.
Charmin flows extra strong from the road. Get your butt hella clean while you're sitting on the bowl, yeah. It's all you need for that bathroom groove. Get you in and out without nothing to prove.
Charmin Ultra Strong cleans better so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content, and tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, east winds, and highs near 40 degrees today. Tonight, we'll see snow developing. It could briefly have a little rain with it as well. Lows in the upper 20s. On Monday, a rain-snow mix, mid-30s. Any kind of accumulation under an inch.
Currently 26 degrees.
To walk along with me, and every step I take reminds me of just how we used to be. Well, how can I forget you, girl? And there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. Shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss, hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you, girl? When there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. I was born to love her, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know.
listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.